Hello and welcome to another installment of the Weichert Workforce Mobility Relocation Podcast. That name's killing us.
I think we need something a little snazzier.
Yeah, we need something better. I'll work on that, and I promise next time out I'll have something really cool. But speaking of really cool, today, first of all, my name is Tim McCarney, joined here, always happy to be joined by Jennifer Cannell, who is the practice leader in our consulting advisory services group. Jen spends her days working with multinational companies, companies here in the States, companies overseas, companies all around the world, helping them to better manage their mobile talent. She consults on policy. She helps them make sure that policies are reflective of best practices, make sure that they are able to recruit and retain the best available talent. And if you've attended industry events, it's very likely you've seen Jen speaking, or perhaps you've loaned her money. one of those two things may have happened.
Speaking of, you think you owe me.
Exactly. We'll get to that. But today is very exciting because we're going to be talking about lump sums. And I know lump sums might not seem that exciting on the surface, but we see lump sums a lot in our industry. Lump sums like any type of relocation benefit, there are the pros and there are the cons. And we're going to try to do the definitive lump sum discussion today.
Sure.
And perhaps make you think of lump sums in a different way. But I want to start off with an analogy. You've seen those movies, the movies where someone somehow finds a suitcase full of money. And this, at first, it's a great thing, you know, like Dumb and Dumber, they take the money and they run off to, where are they, at the ski resort?
Yes.
And they're buying cars and they're buying suits and getting spa treatments and all that stuff. But then eventually you have to pay the piper. As all these movie plots go, the person who is the rightful owner of the money eventually shows up and comes looking for the money. And that's usually where, that's what in the movies they call that the plot twist. Something happens, or the plot point one or two, something happens. And that's when the person who found the money realizes, gee, you know, it seemed like a great thing at the time. Now I realize it wasn't so great. Is that kind of a good analogy for lump sums?
It's kind of a good analogy. It's a funny one. I'd like to think that companies are a little bit more, they have a little more rigor around how
exactly.
They provide that,
not like Dumb and Dumber,
that bunch of money.
Exactly.
Usually comes in the form of a check, and they don't have to run away from the bad guys at some point, or maybe
exactly.
Or maybe they do.
Maybe the angry transferees.
But lump sums are usually, it's something that a company will thoughtfully put together, whatever amount that they're going to give to the employee. But it is a little bit of, here is some lump sum for you to do as you wish. There's no keeping receipts. They don't have to keep receipts. They don't have to account for the money that they spend. So it's often difficult to know how they're spending that money. But they can either use it towards the relocation, which is the intent of the lump sum. But it's not unheard of for it to go to other areas of their lifestyle.
The orange tux, getting back to Dumb
yes.
and Dumber.
The ski lodge.
But exactly. But obviously, employees, to your point, it's easy. So employees would like the fact that it's easy to administer. It's easy to hand someone at least I would assume.
Depending on it doesn't even matter what amount the lump sum is. Nine times out of 10, if you ask the employee, would they rather have the benefits or the lump sum, they will almost always choose the cash because they feel that they're going to be able to use it the best way that they know how. Mm-hmm. They think they're going to be very resourceful, and they often don't know what things really cost when it comes to a relocation, especially when they have to move very quickly. So if somebody told you, Tim, I'm going to give you $5,000 to use towards your move.
What?
Or I can provide you with some temporary living and household goods, you probably pick the $5,000 because it seems like so much money at the time.
It's easy for employers to administer, mm-hmm. and it makes the employees feel good in this age of employees feeling empowered and feeling, hey, I can do this. You know, it's as easy as, you know, you need a ride, you call an Uber. Everything's instant gratification, and of course, something like a lump sum.
Yeah, the most the employee has to do is put it in their bank account, and then they just draw on it as they need to for their relocation, but it's also intermingled with other expenses. They often don't know is the expense that they're using, is it towards a business expense or a relocation expense? That meal that I just bought, would that be considered part of a work trip or is that part of relocation? So they're often not aware of how quickly they're drawing down on that account.
So looking at, if we look on the surface and say, okay, there are certain advantages for employees, they'll take the cash, it makes them feel like they're in charge, they're in control, they're choosing what works for them. If there's an advantage for the companies that offer lump sums because, hey, we're just cutting you a check and you're kind of doing what you need to do. Beyond that, are there other things that make lump sums ideal?
Yeah, I think a lot of companies like the idea of lump sums because they can contain costs and they have a better idea of how much they're going to be spending on relocations. It's much easier to budget the future costs of relocation based on the anticipated number of moves if they know that they're going to be spending between, mm-hmm. you know, X and Y amount for right. each employee.
If someone gave me a sack of money and said, here, get yourself from point
we've
A to
moved
point
B. From a suitcase to a sack of money.
Now it's a sack, exactly. It's a, if someone gave me that and said, get yourself from point A to point B, there's a good chance I probably could, but there's also the chance that had I never moved before, I'd probably be like, well, I don't know. There's Honest Abe's Movers that mm-hmm. wants X number of dollars, but then there's Billy Ray's moving and magic shop, you know, that it's right. considerably cheaper, so I could pocket the money. When you look at things from that perspective, is that one of the things that go wrong, the fact that empowering employees is a good thing, but empowering employees who've never relocated before does have certain caveats
yeah,
or concerns?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things and one of the other advantages that employees and employers like about lump sums is it provides flexibility, which they always want to be flexible to their employees. But if that person doesn't know how to spend it, then they can put themselves certainly in danger. The employees will tend to go to the lowest cost. They'll certainly price out their options for between Abe's Movers and whomever else.
Mm-hmm. And I'll patent that, by the way, Abe's Movers.
They'll often choose the cheapest solution because they want to. They know that whatever money isn't spent from that lump sum, they get to keep. Even if it's a low amount, they want to reserve as much of it as they can for future costs. But you can't control the quality if you're doing that. And it's very difficult when you're giving an employee a lump sum to then be able to say, okay, here's a lump sum, but you're required to use this particular mover because we vetted them and we know that they are high quality and they're safe to use and they're going to do good by you. Mm-hmm. When you're giving somebody a lump sum, it's hard to put those kind of reinforcements in your provisions.
On that note, what are some of the other red flags in your experience
okay.
that are associated with it?
I
know that
good.
You could go all day, yes. I'm sure, on this, but when it comes to lump sums, when you talk to companies that administer mm-hmm. lump sums, what are some of the red flags that you look for when you look at the programs?
It's honestly things that I hear all the time when companies are reevaluating their amounts or how it's being regulated. Certainly to begin with is not being able to ensure that the employee has a positive experience. And this is something that we've done analysis on employees who receive a lump sum. They tend to have the lowest service ratings because they were just given a check and they don't know how to use it. So if they're not provided the right tools mm-hmm. or guidance on how to use those funds, they're often left with a bad experience. And this is their first impression, not only of the move, but of with their employer, if it's a new hire. So we want to be sure that they know how to spend that money, have the right tools and resources, and have a person to walk them through it. Now, often employees who receive a lump sum, they tend to be entry level or early career folks, often younger folks getting out of college.
Because, those millennials.
Yes, I was trying to avoid saying millennials, but yes, it's the folks that they have minimal needs, so it's mm-hmm. easier to give them a lump sum. They're often the ones that need the most hand-holding, however. And they often don't want somebody to guide them through it because this is a generation that's been raised on the internet. They know how to find the best prices. Mm-hmm. They know how to do their research. So they'll often turn down the guidance of somebody who will walk them through the move and help them to spend those funds. Mm-hmm. And yeah, unfortunately, they're the ones who need it the most.
Well, that's interesting. And you almost want to take a step back and look at the people who are being moved with lump sums. For the most part, you know, in your experience, does it seem to be entry level? Because I would imagine if you're moving a senior level executive, they probably just want everything done for them, right?
Yeah, and the more experienced folks, they tend to have moved before, as part of a relocation or even on their own. They've moved before, so they know what a pain it can be, and that having somebody to counsel them through it and source all of the providers and put all so many pieces together is that's a benefit on top of the relocation benefits. And they appreciate that and they want that kind of help.
The question that we always seem to hear, or that you always seem to hear, is how much should I be offering? And I've heard you say many times that there really is no magic number. It really does depend on the company, the culture, objectives, who you're moving, et cetera, et cetera. What methodologies do mm-hmm. exist for companies to identify what amount works best for them?
Yeah, so you're right. I do get that question a lot. What's the right amount? Or what amount do other companies like me provide to their employees for this type of employee mm-hmm. demographic? And, you know, I'd love to be able to say, hey, here's a good number to look at. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, companies define lump sums very differently. What they intend to cover or assist with varies considerably. And even two companies that provide a lump sum to cover three types of benefits. Let's say it's temporary living, a house hunting trip or home finding trip, and their final move. They might have different provisions under those. So one might intend to cover 30 days of temporary living, while the other one covers 90 days. One of them covers meals, the other one doesn't. On top of that, they have very different locations. A lump sum for somebody to move from Boston to San Francisco is going to look a lot different than somebody moving, say, from Kansas City to Dallas. The amounts just aren't going to go as far.
Right.
So there are three different types of formulas that we look at, or three methodologies. One is a flat amount or fixed amount. And that's where somebody says, here, I'm giving you $5,000 or $10,000 to assist with your costs. On the complete opposite end of the spectrum is the fully customizable amount. And that's where they estimate the costs based on a particular set of parameters and benefits. They might use a data specialist, that's their area of specialty, is calculating lump sum amounts. Or they might have some sort of cost projection tool that they can use to estimate what the cost would be for an assignment, and then they'll provide that amount. The middle ground is a variable amount, and that's where a company takes two or three elements, such as the family size and the distance, and you can almost plot it on a very simple grid, so that if the person has a family size of four, they would receive this amount, and then if the move exceeded 1,000 miles or 1,000 kilometers, they might provide them this amount. And they might do that separately for homeowners and renters. And that's certainly on a domestic basis.
We do hear a lot these days about duty of care and a company's responsibility to its employees. And I'm just wondering if there's ever, I mean, if you hand an employee a sack of cash and they cheap out and they use Billy Ray's van line and Billy Ray drives their household goods off a cliff or something like that, you know, is there some overlap between duty of care and lump sum in terms of the type of management that a company should have over what their employees are doing and how it could impact their well-being?
Yeah, it's certainly an issue when it comes to lump sums, is because, as I mentioned earlier, you can't necessarily control how the person spends the money. Mm-hmm. So if you have somebody, again, let's look at somebody with an early career person, and they want to be near the company's headquarters, but they want to live somewhere fairly inexpensive. They might choose a place that's in an unsafe neighborhood. At the very least, somebody with a lump sum certainly should have some sort of rental finding or home finding assistance. An expert in that area it's outside of the lump sum program. It's some sort of assistance from an expert who will help them to identify the right neighborhoods to live in, what is close to the company's location, if the person wants to take public transportation, what's the safest type in neighborhood that they can live in order to get to and from work safely. That person can also be very useful in helping them to identify other things that they need to think about in that particular city or town. So duty of care certainly comes into play, certainly with household goods. I mean, I've heard more stories about them going for the cheapest solution only to find out that their things went missing or broken. So that's why a lot of companies may choose, as an alternative to a lump sum, they might look at a capped program where they can stipulate how the money is spent on certain benefits, and they can also reinforce which providers are to be used under those set of benefits.
Now you're taking us down another road.
Yeah, sorry about
capped,
that.
No, but that's all good too, because that should be part of the discussion here, because I did want to ask you about capped programs or managed capped programs, however people refer to them, because we often hear those talked about in the same breath as lump sums. Can you give a very brief explanation as to what those are and how they work?
It's basically providing them fully directly covered benefits, similar to a full service program. If you were to take that lump sum amount and just turn that into a budget or a capped amount, and then the person is provided a menu of benefits under which a counselor would walk them through them, and they would understand what their budget is. And typically the first thing that might be quoted or priced out is the household goods, because that's usually the most expensive line item. Mm-hmm. And then once the person understands what that is, they'll know what they have left to spend. And they'll know, based on the list of benefits, what they can use it towards. So it ensures that the providers that are providing those benefits are ones that the company has approved. Mm-hmm. They're safe. Also, because these are providers that have been vetted, they're often the employees can receive the discounts provided through the by leveraging their entire volume. So there is a cost savings feature in there that they're able to benefit from. And usually that capped amount, by the way, does not include the gross up. That's usually outside of both the lump sum and the capped amount.
Now we're going down the tax foxhole
yes,
here.
Well, that's as far as I'm going.
But now can cap programs coexist with lump sums? Do you find companies will either use one or the other? Do they commingle?
Yeah, they may commingle, but I think what happens is if they are to use a lump sum, it's usually a very nominal amount. So okay. If it's a company that provides maybe I hate to give numbers. I really do. But if it's less than $5,000, they may just provide them a lump sum. Because at some point, if the lump sum is too low, there's really not a lot of benefit in providing them a full benefit of any kind.
Gotcha.
It almost becomes too restrictive. You know, my rule of thumb is if we're looking at U.S. dollars, if it's about $10,000 or so or less, you may want to provide it directly as a lump sum. Anything over that, you may want to consider a capped move.
All right. So flipping back to lump sums, we'll just end with a couple of rapid fire questions here. In your experience, what's the one thing that companies tend to mess up or get wrong when it comes to lump sums? Like when you see lump sums, what's the most common mistake companies are making when they're using them?
I think one of the mistakes that I see is that they want to cover all of the relocation expenses under the lump sum. They want to provide assistance to the employee. You can tell that they want to do what they can for the employee when they're going through a relocation or assignment. Mm-hmm. So they'll generically put it together a lump sum amount, and it's intended to assist with any of the costs. I highly recommend that they be very thoughtful about which provisions they want to cover.
Mm-hmm.
And even drill down to the level of detail in those provisions. It's 5 days of house hunting. It's to cover meals. If it's temporary living, it's to cover corporate housing, or is it hotel, 30 days versus 14 days? Things like that. Does it cover dependents? So being able to get to that level of detail, I think, will help them to come to the right number. It also will help them determine what kind of tools or resources they can provide to the employee to make sure that they're spending it in the best way possible.
Switching gears now from companies to transferees, what's the one mistake that transferees or mobile employees tend to make when they're using a lump sum? Like, what's the one thing they always seem to do wrong that you see?
Recently, I conducted focus groups with one of our clients and their employees, and there were a lot of the employees that received a lump sum.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that really became clear to me is how many of those lump sum employees, while they were provided the technology tools, you know, online resources to use vetted suppliers, they were also provided the assistance of a mobility counselor to walk them through that amount and help them spend the money.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite surprising to me how many of them said, oh, I'm too busy, I don't need any help. Because these were also many of these employees were the same ones who later said, gee, I wish I had some help or somebody to help me walk through it. And it wasn't until that point that they made that connection. They said, oh, I was offered that kind of help. I should have taken them up on it at the beginning. And had they done that and realized, oh, maybe I didn't have enough money, they could have been able to go back to the employer, maybe work something out. The other thing that I also have also found out the employees underestimate is the assistance they need in identifying a living community. That rental finding assistance is very important, because that's often the most important thing to somebody who is receiving a lump sum. They're often renters, and it's getting tougher and tougher to find a rental community these days that allows for pets and mm-hmm. the three dogs rather than just the one dog and everything else. And
the snakes.
Yeah, and employees are becoming more, consumers are becoming more particular about where they're going to live. It's not just a matter of a homeowner versus renter, but it's being very specific. And having that assistance, having somebody to help them find that assistance and place to live very quickly, because they often have to be in their new position right away, and so they need to shorten that time frame.
Last question. If you could impart one pearl of wisdom to corporate relocation managers regarding lump sums or managing their lump sum programs, what would that be?
Think about what you're trying to accomplish with your relocation program. Are you trying to increase recruitment? Are you trying to enhance employee engagement? Are you looking to retain employees after they've been brought on as new hires and you want to transition them to a new location. Lump sum programs are a great way to move employees, and they're very simple. But if they're not done correctly, they can certainly make a big impact on the employee's impression of the company. Hate to see you lose valuable talent as a result of a bad move.
I lied about that being the last question. This is the last question. How often should someone look at their lump sum and say, is this working? Is this something that
we need to refine? At least once a year.
Once a year.
Lump sums. Full service programs, I don't think you necessarily have to look at them every year. You should look at them maybe every other year. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to a lump sum, you want to make sure that you're still meeting your goals and benchmarks. So those things that I was just talking about earlier about, you know, are you trying to enhance recruitment, improve employee satisfaction, all of those, you want to make sure that you're still hitting those marks on an ongoing basis. And whether it means increasing the amount of the lump sum or increasing the amount of tools and resources provided to them, or finding out that the lump sum isn't working, you want to be able to switch and be as nimble as a lump sum really is.
All right. Well, Jen, thank you. That's 25 solid minutes of lump sum content. Holy God, this got to be Grammy consideration in this somewhere. I'm submitting this to the National Academy of Recorded Arts and Sciences for
Just
Grammy
come up with a good name for it.
I know that's going to kill me. By the next episode, we'll have a great name cast in stone. I guarantee that. But Jen, as always, thank you, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.